B3. Number 23A.
We come to the next point, 16. Infinite logic. Mrs. Eddy uses this term in Now and Yes, page 16, where she speaks of her revelation as infinite logic. I read to you quietly a passage out of that page, and we just watch what she means by it. She says, "The subjective states of evil, called mortal mind or matter, are negatives, destitute of time and space." She just does away with it. "For there is none beside God or Spirit and the idea of Spirit." So you get the sense, even of the level of science itself, where you not even exclude matter, but where it's just no more a question to ask the question of matter or evil. And to this she says, "This infinite logic is the infinite light, uncomprehended, yet forever giving forth more light, because it has no darkness to emit." Again, you have that high altitude. "Mortals do not understand the all. Hence, their inference of some other existence besides God and his true likeness of something unlike him." So can you see, it's only mortal's inference that, she says, is that which can think about something besides him. But the infinite one spirit is just emitting light, uncomprehended by mortals. "He who is all," capital A, "who is all, understands all. He can have no knowledge or inference," see, "can have no knowledge or inference, but his own consciousness, and can take in no more than all." So here you get this sense that God is unconscious of anything besides himself. He's just emitting infinite light, uncomprehended by mortals. So we can see that this she calls the infinite logic, because the infinite never repeats itself. How can we see now the one-valued logic and this infinite logic? It shows that one-valued logic is not a one number one next to number two, but it's just oneness logic. Oneness logic, which therefore is infinite logic, because in the one, God, we have, through the principle of synonymy, we have seven synonymous terms. The one becomes seven. The one-value logic becomes actually there a seven-valued logic. And further, those synonymous terms have infinite ideas. Therefore, again, through the principle of synonymy, you have infinite ideas, and therefore every idea has another logic. Infinite logic. Therefore, in God, where nothing repeats itself, you cannot have just a limited logic, just a one logic. You must have an infinite logic, because God acts every time in a different way. Therefore, it cannot be comprehended by mortals. Says therefore only comprehended by God. I just make a little interpolation here, something which you do not have to understand. but which gives you a feeling of what is meant by infinite logic. In the classical logic of the two-valued logic, there is theoretically there are 64 possible moods of a categorical syllogism. 64, there are 64 varieties, so to say, in which the two valid logic can be thought out. How that 62 arrives at, it's no use to tell you. Usually in ordinary logic, they just take out of those 64 logic, I think, it's 16 or 12, Denise? 16, I think. 16 are used since the Middle Age. They are called moods. Theoretically, there are already 64 possibilities. If you have a three-valued logic, as they have to calculate in mathematics, you get already a terrific high number of possibilities. And if you come to a four-valued logic, you already come to an enormous number, namely to 10 to the 153rd power. You know how that is written, huh? 10 with 153 notes. So many moods you would get only with a four-valued logic. Now, can you see what we would get with a seven-valued logic and with an infinite logic? It's no more be comprehended. If you think that even a four-valued logic with that terrific high number of a one with 153 notes after that one is much more than the number of atoms existing in the whole universe as it is known today, because today one calculates that the number of atoms in the universe is only a one with 100 notes, and here you have a number that is much, much bigger. Can you see what is infinite logic? It touches, therefore, that point that no case is any more the same, that each case, every situation has its own logic. That's what she calls the logic of events. And every event is a different event, and every event, she says, is God's event. My word, can you see what happens? That therefore only the infinite mind can master the right logic, the infinite logic, which means, and this is really then enormously interesting, that therefore this divine logic, this infinite logic, has no human comparison. It can no more humanly be judged in right or wrong. Therefore, judge not. We can no more say a Christian scientist should do this and not do that. That's absolutely out. And we come really back to what we have seen in the 13th chapter in the textbook, where we have seen what is the ethics of Christian science. That all is mind, therefore we can no more judge a case, we can only see that mind has infinite ways to work out its brain, and that therefore every case is a new case, every situation is a different situation, we have no way of comparing it anymore. We have only one thing to see, that if we go out from mind, that mind manifesting itself as infinite ideas, never repeating itself, will have infinite ways of manifesting itself, has infinite values, and therefore an infinite logic. So can you do why it is quite right to say when two are doing the same thing, it is not the same? One used to take this wording in the way that one was judging and say, if he does something, that's all right, but if somebody else does that, then it is punished and so on. But actually, this is true. If two do the same thing, it's not the same thing, because every event is God's event, and that God is infinite. Therefore, it must be judged according to a divine logic and not just to the two-valued logic. Can you feel the freedom we will find in feeling that we have no more the right to judge, but also we can see how dangerous this is. How dangerous it is that we say, well, every case is different, and therefore you cannot judge it. And then the false conclusion is made, well, whatever I do, you know, you can't judge it, because every event is a different event. Can you see? But if you start out on the top just with that logic, then naturally you are going just to support evil. That's all what we do. Therefore, again what we see, the higher the logic, the more it is necessary that they include the lower logics. That therefore in that dimensional logic, all logic must be integrated into the one infinite logic. Or else we cannot say, well, mind has infinite ideas and therefore will act in every case differently. That's right, as long as we are going out from mind. You see, because in that reference I have been reading from No and Yes, she really prepares the ground, because she goes out right first from that sentence and statement that the subjective states of evil called mortal mind or matter are negatives destitute of time and space. She begins with the negative and tells what is negative. She begins with the conceptual two conceptual logic. And that must first be stated right. And that must first have its judgment from the point of view of understanding what are ideas, what are illusions. And only then, when we reach that one-valued logic, we can see that from that one-valued logic there are infinite possibilities to be brought out, and then we are right to see that each event is God's event, and that's the logic of the event. It gives us a new world feeling, an absolutely new world feeling. We free ourselves from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is so rampant in the Christian Science thought. Christian scientists are regarded as the greatest dualists we know, because they always judge between good and evil, always have either it's spirit or matter, this is truth, this is error. They constantly have that dualistic sense within their consciousness. And one can see why that is, because it is actually the basis from which Mrs. Eddy goes out, but she overforms that logic, and that step has never been really made, or we wouldn't judge always in a dualistic way. Can you see that? You're weird to see that, huh? Yes? And we can therefore also see that very often we may suffer under a situation because we don't understand the logic of events. We suffer under situation. Why? Because we consider it and regard it from the two-valued or two-conceptional logic. And then we evaluate it as either a suffering or a happy situation, but actually, if we see that it is always mind in operation, we always should see this is right and this is good. It's only a matter of, do I take the right standpoint? Do I use the right logic? Can you see how logic is practice? Logic is that practice which tells us that we have to fall back on the right theory. If we fall in a situation back to a wrong logic, to an inadequate logic, to a logic which is not adapted to that level on which the problem is stated, then our practice is wrong. And therefore we have that we try very often to demonstrate something which we shouldn't demonstrate. We try to demonstrate something that then, when we approach the problem again, still from the two-valued logic, instead of approaching it from the infinite logic, and so we sometimes try very hard just to pull through somewhere and to be very tenacious about it, very perseverant in trying to demonstrate that, not knowing that we shouldn't do that, that we are trying to demonstrate something which is not in the logic of events, which is not in the logic of the divine design. So we can see the practical implication, I guess. We come to the next point, 17, the logic of the chart. I think you know enough about the chart, I don't have to project it to the screen. Now let's look at the chart as a whole. What is the chart? The chart is a model of the divine being. And within that chart we have various levels of consciousness. We have seen that every level has its own logic. So let's summarize now into the chart all the various logics which we have been considering. So it's a kind of recapitulation and putting things together. So what can we see? On the level of Christian Science, we therefore have the two-valued logic being resolved there into the two conceptional logic. Why? Because we know Christian Science is that science which shows the relationship of truth to error. So the relationship of fact and counterfeit is under discussion. Therefore, on that level, we are engaged in finding out, is there a two-valued logic, and finding out there that there does not exist in reality such a two-valued logic, but what we find there is a two-conceptional logic, where we constantly have these opposite statements, truth and error, life and death, right and wrong, good and evil, but as concepts, she resolves there the belief in counterfact into the counterfeit concept. So counterfact become counterfeit, and as they are counterfeit, it is a two-conceptional logic. So there, in the level of Christian Science, the logic analyzes and differentiates between truth and error. There we have to learn what are ideas, what are illusions, and so we analyze really the opposites to be conceptual opposites and not real opposites. Then we come to absolute Christian Science, where we have seen that in absolute Christian Science, truth is stated in relationship to ideas. That's the plane of consciousness, principle and idea, principle bringing forth ideas, manifesting ideas is being brought forth. So that there, the main accent lies on understanding, the third value. We find there the third value very much expressed and accentuated. It is that understanding which, looking back on the level of Christian Science, enables us to distinguish between real and unreal, between true values and elusive values, and therefore having a sense that mind only knows its ideas. So in a positive sense, looking upward on this level, we see that it is the logic of the ideas, the logic of the calculus of ideas. When we see that there are only ideas at work, then we begin to realize that this third value, understanding, is actually the only divine value. And so that third value becomes now on the level of divine science, where we deal with oneness. We come to that conscious oneness, to that divinely united consciousness, where all those primeval beliefs in opposites, like God, man, and in, are just excluded. They do no more enter into the logic. We are no more considering how to resolve the belief. And so we have the one valued logic there. Here, no misunderstanding is any more possible. She says, divine science combines in logical sequence nature, reason, and revelation. In logical sequence, nature, reason, and revelation. All are just one now. It's no more reasoning separate from nature, no more subject and object. The origin of reasoning is also the same. Revelation and reason has become one, so that reason, revelation, nature, all is one. There is no more duality of subject and object. This is resolved. Which brings us to the point that we see, but in that oneness, we have to deal with what oneness? With the oneness that there is only one God. But God is not just an amorphous one. It is a one that is infinitely diversified through the synonymy principle. We come to God as seven. A seven-valued logic. That's why we can consider and weigh everything that happens from the point of view of mind, but we can also weigh it from the point of view of spirit, and from the point of view of soul, and principle, and life, and truth, and love. And every time we weigh a situation, the same situation, from another synonymous term, we get a different value. So little by little, through the infinite idea and through the synonymy principle of ideas, we get to infinite values, to the infinite logic. Where in that infinite logic, the primeval concept of an I and not I is no more asked. Where the I just knows I am I am that I am. This is the frame of reference for the infinite logic. So in this way we can see how the chart, you see, incorporates within itself all the main logics, that every level has its own logics, but also that we see that every higher logic is only higher and correct if it is based, grounded on the lower logic, and never loses the lower logics. Or else, we shift right into mysticism. Here's the danger. That if we start on a higher plane without the lower plane, that our consciousness is no more scientific, but is then mystical. Therefore, this is the point that the higher logic is not meaningful without the lower logic. If I call with higher and lower the levels of science. The logic of the chart is insofar very interesting that it uses only words, terms, symbols, and not sentences. Because a sentence always limits. Every sentence limits. If we have not sentence, but arrangement of synonymous term, then we have infinite relationship. We leave the infinite as infinite. Also, we see that that chart is only showing forth a consistent logic because there is the logic of infinite translatability. Only because we see that what is true on one level can be translated to a lower level without losing its identity. It only changes its outward form, the phenomena, but inwardly the identity remains, and therefore the dimensional logic, which is so important for the chart, is based on that very fact of infinite translatability, the Christ.